While the company was packing, Chunky and the band gave them lots of music. But music had very little effect on the troops, for they were too near dead from fatigue. An anonymous voice in the crowd yelled out,
"If I'd have been offered $10,000 this morning to march 10 miles, I would have refused it."
After the music came the old familiar command,
"Fall in!"
But the boys did not get up and fall in. Instead, they answered the call in with language that's best not be repeated. The officers could not get the men started. Finally, the old Brigadier General Von Gilsa gave the command in his strong vernacular, which had the desired effect to get the command in motion. On account of the condition of the men, it was almost impossible to move them. The entire company rested at the end of the first half mile, the next rest coming at the end of a mile. Now able to make a few miles, they began to get warmed up, and there was no more stops until they came to Broad Run. Entry in David's diary.
No date. Being behind when the rest came into camp, I told the doctor that I could not go any further. Dr. Stout told me when the column started I should drop out and he would give me a pass for the ambulance, and that he knew that I was not able to keep in ranks.
It was not long after the men left camp that drinking commenced, and they drank all the water they could find along the road. It made no difference to them whether it was good or clean, only so it was wet. The weather was very warm, and drinking so much water caused many poor fellows to fall by the wayside. David came along where there were burying men who had died from the effects of drinking too much water. He added no date as he made an entry into his diary.
I did not know how soon our time would come to go hence. We got to Centerville somewhere between 8 and 9 a.m., and I was not long finding a spring with a crowd about 3 rods thick. I crowded into the spring. By lying down, I could reach the water, could get about 1/3 of a tin full at each dip, and got my canteen full of mud and water.
David got out of the crowd and came up to the village, where he saw another well with a wooden pump in it. He was the first and only man to find it. There, David met a boy about 10 years of age at the well. He said,
"Let me fill your canteen."
David told him,
"Let me see some of the water first, because my canteen is full of spring water. Such excellent water I've not seen for many a day."
David told him he might fill his canteen, and he went to work at once. The boy commenced to pour out the contents, mud, water, coffee grounds, lemon peels, and the like. It was truly laughable to see the look of astonishment on the lad's face as he saw the contents of the canteen. David left with his tin cup, coffee kettle, canteen, and himself included, full of that good water, and he left the boy with a soldier's blessing. In the street, David met Dr. Stout and asked him if he would like a drink of well water. As he emptied the tin cup, he asked,
"Where did you get this water?"
David pointed to the well, and he went and filled his canteen also. Some of the other men found a meadow near a nice spring, so they moved their camp closer to the water. It was on this evening that Colonel Glantz arrived, returning from Richmond Libby Prison. David knew personally the kind of treatment the man had been exposed to. The men all turned out in their stocking feet to greet the colonel. He made a speech to his comrades and dropped a few silent tears. The old man had changed since they had all seen him last. He was quite kerpluent when he was with them before, but when he got back, he was just about as thin as a rail. After he joined them, he went with the regiment for a few days, but he did not take command, as he claimed he was not well. The men went back to their tents and spent the evening writing letters home. David helped several comrades keep in touch with their family by helping the men that could not read write letters. After he completed this service, David opened his haversack and took out his scarf package. He made himself comfortable and wrote in his diary.
17th of June, 1863. On the 17th, as I arose, a comrade of mine by the name of Henry Zierfus was still sleeping. I aroused him and told him to get his breakfast as there was a hard day's march before us. He told me his commissary supplies had run out. I took my cap and went around among the boys and soon had it full of coffee, sugar, and hardtack, which filled his haversack for him. He was a nice young fellow. He had been wounded in the face and had no cheek. He would starve before he would beg. After breakfast, while we were packing up, my tent mate had a nice piece of bacon, and he said to me, "David, I'm going to throw this away. I can't eat pork anyhow." I told him to give it to me and I would carry it, for I thought the gentleman would eat pork about noon. And I was right.
Fall in! Forward!
The company left Centreville about 4 a.m. They had made 5 or 6 miles when a halt was made, and this brought the troops to a house. There were 3 men at the house. One had a bandage around his head. One had his arm in a sling, and the other was lame. The boys accused them of being rebels, and they denied it. David and some of the other men were leaning against the garden fence. In the garden, there was a nice bed of onions. With a little help, the fence fell over, and there was a mad dash. All he got was 2 onions as the bugle sounded for them to fall in. As the company got in line, David looked down across the meadow and saw some of the German soldiers going after a drove of geese. They were using a long pole with which they were knocking the heads off the geese. This was to him a new way of killing geese.